Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think
here we go. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. Utilize the text function on your phone. Still to come on the program, Paul DeMarco, and that's in about a half hour from now. We'll get his thoughts on the first and second congressional districts, the newly announced candidates. So that's about a half hour from now, as I said. But joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Now, such short notice, but we're very grateful. Mark Shirey, state representative, joins us on the line. Doc, how are you?
I am very well, Jeff. I hope you and yours are good, and I hope you have all your pumpkins and have them carved already.
We got that. We got the little ones' Halloween costume, and we got like three Halloween-themed events to go to, so we're rocking and rolling here.
Well, that's excellent. Hey, let's segue into that. Let's get the controversial stuff out of the way to begin with. Today is National Candy Corn Day. Are you a fan?
I can take it or leave it. I mean, too much of it makes you feel terrible, but I'm not, like, repulsed by it by any means.
I am repulsed by it. I am not a fan of candy corn at all.
It's just, it's not on my list of, like, oh, boy, candy corn. Maybe throw some peanuts or something, then I'll kind of eat around the candy corn.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, National Candy Corn Day. What a I don't believe these are real things. I think they're messing with us on the news here, but whatever. I know that's controversial, but we'll get into some less controversial topics here. Well, first off, it's been I want to say it's been quiet. It seems a lot tamer than it did the off cycle between last session, and I guess you were kind of getting involved, and a lot of you freshmen had a lot, but have things kind of slowed down a little bit for you guys?
Well, it is beginning to ramp back up. The meetings and, you know, the different bills that we're discussing and different ideas and people, you know, wanting more of our time. So it is beginning to ramp back up, but has been quiet for a little bit.
Well, and you know the things we're hearing about now. There's some controversies going on, and I know I've asked you about those in the past. But is it still? It looks like gambling. It looks like ethics, and I'm hearing school choice, but I'm not really. And we saw some comments from the governor, but I don't know if that's not just wishful thinking from a lot of folks.
I think it'll come up. You know, I don't know how far it will go. We've got some. You know, we've got some pretty good advocates for it in the House itself. We just got to do it right. And I think the people that are behind the school choice bill this time are wanting to do it right. And I think it's got a better chance this time. Now, is that going to be tied to another bill? It may be, and that may be the way that we get both through, but you know, I don't know. That's kind of above my pay grade whether everything is tied together or not.
Well, you just kind of wonder what leadership wants to see. And I know Speaker Ledbetter. I'll say this, and I don't know how much you were paying attention during the Mac McCutcheon era, but Speaker Ledbetter, I think, has done an outstanding job just kind of keeping the trains moving around on time. And so it's not clear if he's, you know, how receptive he is to something big like that coming up next year, especially as busy as it seems like it's going to be.
You're right. I think it's going to be a very busy session. I think we've got several bills that are going to be pre-filed this time. I think it's going to be a bit busier session than the first session. And the House passed a lot of bills this first session. We kept rolling and Speaker Ledbetter kept everything on the tracks and we moved some bills this time.
Well, something I want to run by you and, the only reason I'm bringing it up, because I think the ALDOT directors mentioned it to road builders at a conference, but they, at the Alabama Department of Transportation, are talking about coming back and asking for more on the gas tax and more revenue from something. It may not be gas tax. I don't know what else it would be, but they're forecasting some revenue shortfalls in the future. Well, what do you say to that?
Well, that we passed the largest tax cut in Alabama history last session. The Alabama gas tax was the largest tax increase in Alabama history. So that is indexed for inflation. So they're getting more and more. That's going to be a tough lift to ask for more revenue there. We have a lot of programs going on that's going to need revenue this time.
Well, I mean, and you think the two big ones that stick out to me are all these, all the things with Aldot, but the prisons, and this predates you, but they've already blown through most of that $1.3 billion set aside for the new prison construction. And that's just for the Elmore County facility. Escambia County, DOJ is going to want some improvements here to mitigate some of these Eighth Amendment questions. What do you say when the Department of Corrections says, hey, we need another $1 billion for this Escambia County prison?
Wow, that's always disappointing to me. As a businessman, when I do a contract, if I'm going to buy a building, I know what that building is going to cost me. And when it comes time to write a check, you can't say it's twice as much. I can understand some costs for overruns. I can understand inflation. If they're saying inflation is, 8.5%? Well, they're asking for 50% on this prison. You know, we're spending, $1.3, $1.2 billion on one prison where that should have built two. That's a tough thing. We're going to have to look at those contracts again and see what's going on there. And I think we're having some real issues with that. We're going to continue to.
Have they offered you a plausible explanation? Because whenever I ask, I get a lot of, the rate of inflation has been that, but it's much more for construction. It's much more for labor. It's much more for materials, et cetera, and so on and so forth. I never get what I think is a satisfactory answer for these cost escalations.
I can't think of another industry where you can say, hey, I'll sell you this product for this amount of money, and then when it comes time to close the deal, you can say, no, it's going to be twice as much, and you're on the hook for that. I just can't think of that, and I personally have not had an explanation of that. You're right. That was before my time. You know, once the legislature appropriates the funds, then it's up to the governor's office and the leadership branch to actually spend that money. So they're the ones that write the checks. We have a little bit of say with holding contracts or something like that, but when it comes right down to it, once the bill and once the appropriation is passed, it's kind of out of our hands until they come back and ask for more money.
Well, that's just it, though, right? I mean, this construction management thing that's going on in Montgomery, this new enamored sort of approach, they just are in love with it. And I my background before I got into this racket was construction. You bid the job, that was your price. And if there were cost overruns, you could always do change orders or whatever. This make it up as you go along stuff is not really benefiting the taxpayer like a lot of people say it does.
You're absolutely right. If construction companies all the time that bid that underbid a project, what happens when they do that? They lose money. It's not you go back and get more. You can do change orders, but change orders, you're not looking at twice the price. You're looking at, hey, I want a different bathroom or something, and that's something right that you decided, not something that the construction company decided.
I mean, it's taking away the moral hazard here. You got to go into the job and you bid competitively, and you add to the cost what you might think could be potential costs down the road. When you don't do it that way, when you say, hey, we'll just let somebody manage this and do it as we go along, there's no mechanism that keeps you in line with a reasonable cost. It can be whatever we feel like that day, and that's the way it feels like with these prisons.
I agree with you completely. Think about the person who came in second on the bids. they're looking at that and say, well, wow, my bid was underneath that. Now, I don't know that. I don't know that the bid was underneath what, you know, what we're going to wind up paying. But, you know, it make it to a point where we need to decide, hey, okay, we got to stop. We got to rebid this.
Well, yeah. Well, that and, like, some of these contracts are just kind of being handed out without a, you know, without a bid process. Maybe they're negotiated or whatever, but I mean, I generally have confidence in state officials to try to do the right thing. Sometimes there's a degree, an element of incompetence or whatever, but I don't know if we should be comfortable with just kind of giving unelected or even elected bureaucrat or elected officials the ability just to say, we're going to give it to this company for this price. Without something, I mean, just trust us, we're doing the right thing. But that's the way we hear of a lot of these big construction projects lately.
I agree with you 100%. I think the legislator needs more oversight. We need to be able to call these people on the carpet and have them come in and say, okay, why? Give us a reason. You know, I think we'd be happier if we had a reason. You know, if they could explain it, and then maybe we could explain it to our constituents. But right now I have people asking me, hey, why is the prison costing twice as much? And it's sad when I say, you know, I don't know. That's a bad thing for a legislator.
Well, I mean, even as a member of the media, when we ask, it's just like, Governor Ivey is doing her best to give you persons and make Alabama safe and will continue our commitment to the process. It never really answers the question about what's going on. And I always find those kind of non-answers, they're a little insulting by nature, but like, what's going on here? Why can't you say this costs more, what is going on? And no one ever has a good answer for it.
Right. And we're sort of over a barrel with the federal government, possibly stepping in. And if that happens, then they get control of the checkbook and they can spend whatever they want to. So that's, you know, that's the threat that we're under. That's why we kind of agree to whatever it is, just so that we can try to satisfy the courts.
Joined by State Representative Mark Shirey here on the program. Representative, we'll get you out of here on this, but we're gonna have a busy election cycle through at least through the winter going into that Republican primary, but probably and beyond. What do you think? Are you ready for such a what could be a contentious primary and general election season in Mobile?
I think it is going to be a really contentious season. I was sad that Congressman Moore didn't run in the second district. I would really like for him to run in that. I think Congressman Carl has done a great job for District 1, and I've already come out and endorsed him, and I'll work for him as much as I can. But I think you're right. District 2 is part of Mobile now, and that's going to be a crowded field. I think it's going to be a crowded field both on the Republican side and the Democratic side. So, I think you're right. It's going to be a contentious cycle, and I think the winners are going to be the ad people and the consultants.
Well, and we haven't really seen anybody really I mean, a couple of Democrats as of this morning. No Stephen Reed, but Kirk Hatcher in the Alabama Senate. And you're calling in the House, Napoleon Bracey running on the Democrat side. I haven't seen a Republican really step up to the plate here yet, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I am very, very eager to see what Republican would be on the list here.
Well, if it's a current House member or even a current senator, you know, it's kind of a free run because it's in between our election cycles, so. I think you'll be surprised. I think a few people will step up. I think we'll have at least two, maybe three Republican candidates. Do I have anybody in mind? No. But, I think we will. I think John Wall's gonna recruit pretty hard for a Republican candidate.
Well, Representative, we appreciate your time. Like I said, thank you for coming on such short notice, and we will get you on, again here soon.
always a pleasure speaking with me. I'll talk to you whenever I can, Jeff.
Thank you. State Representative Mark Shirey there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.